Welcome to a 20-episode miniseries at the Texas Robotics Summit, hosted by our friends at Granite Defense. We dive into the evolving world of drones and robotics in public safety aviation through 20 fantastic conversations with leaders across public safety from the fire service, law enforcement, EMS operations, wildlife management, and more. We explore the challenges, advancements, and the critical role of technology in enhancing emergency services operations. A special thanks to the sponsor of the Smart Firefighting Podcast, WS Darling Company, for making this podcast possible. Enjoy the show. Sitting here live in the first of our mini-series at the Texas Robotics Show alongside Battalion Chief Bobby Ortiz. Bobby, how you doing?
Good, brother. How are you?
Dude, I'm doing well. It's good to be in Texas.
Glad to have you here.
And this is your this is your home turf.
It is. Usually we see you up in Dallas, but you're back in Central Texas now.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I've ever been here or done anything like this, but for those that aren't here, paint a picture. Like, what's happening here at the Texas Robotics Show?
So this is my first time to come out here to the Reveille Peak Ranch for this. This ranch is it's used for a multitude of things, from Spartan races to dirt bike races. Law enforcement has the opportunity. Texas DPS uses this place a lot. 1,400 acre ranch with all sorts of different types of terrain and vehicles, buses, everything for you to get your drone on and take a look at and see what you can do with it and get your confidence built up for real-time situational awareness.
So what brought you here? Are you using drones, robots? You know, tell me about your experience and your interest with drones.
So we are kind of in the infancy stages of using the drones. I got involved with the technology side of the fire service a few years ago at the first TSI in Irving. That's where I met you the first time, and I've been involved ever since. Also, the chair of the Texas Fire Chiefs Association, actually the IFC's side of it, better for the unmanned part. There's about six of us that are in our group for the portion of that, and I'm actually sharing that with a couple of other guys who know way more about this than I do. Just more of the organizer, I guess, to get that put out there. As far as the drone side, there's so many different applications that you can use drones in emergency services. With emergency services and drones, look for missing people, structure fires, wildland fires, without having to use major air assets like what we use here in Central Texas, Starflight. Houston uses different stuff and Dallas. But the Austin Fire Department has helped me out a lot getting started with a lot of their technology, their wisdom. Jason Burnside has been an amazing asset to me with all that stuff.
I'm also a believer in surrounding yourself with people smarter than yourself.
100%. I couldn't be successful without asking people questions.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to know when it comes to this space. When you think of the fire service, you don't necessarily think of drones. You don't think of robotics. But this is 2024 and things are changing. So why not use the technology that you have available to help you be more successful and help keep people safe?
Yeah, well said. And I think most people's first experience with drones were those drones that people saw in the airport tech stores. And I think that might have been Parrots, the kind of the first kind of commercial grade drones. But they've come quite a long way. And I think in the context of a robot or a drone and sort of how it relates to firefighters, law enforcement, public safety, how would you define a robot or a drone with the lens of public safety?
So robot, I guess, more specifically, because it's a broader net, I guess. So something that you don't have to put a person into a situation. You can send a robot with a mission and you're not having to put somebody in there specifically into an IDLH situation where they can be harmed by either a chemical from hazmat underwater, looking for a lost person in a river or a lake, ravine, and then into airspace. Obviously, that's very costly when you're trying to get some sort of reconnaissance or situational awareness of where a wildland fire is headed, a missing person. You can cover a larger scale and a lot shorter amount of time with fewer resources.
And then it's not just the drone itself. It's not this flying piece of plastic or metal or whatever we're making out of these days. It's a lot of these, what the drone is carrying and some of the widgets, some of the accessories, some of the software. Within the context of your role and kind of how you're looking at drones, how are you using some of these other accessories and software to help do your job better?
So thermography is the main point that we use with us so far, we haven't delved into the Boston Dynamics spot yet, where you can have all sorts of monitoring equipment for hazmat. We haven't done that yet. But with thermal alone, you can tell at what stage a chemical has developed into something that's potentially more dangerous. Wildland fires, things that are, you know, under a canopy of trees, you can see, you know, areas that still need attention. More specifically, if you're in a WUI situation, you can see neighbors that are surrounding the potential wildland interface at that point. And with other technologies attached to the drones, like loudspeakers, you can evacuate neighborhoods. You can alert people pretty quickly.
And we're here in Texas at the Texas Robotics Show. That's right. And that's a fellow Preston Culver and Mike Mascherino, two of the fellow homies who have helped really commandeer this podcast and this event. There's all these live demos that we're going to ultimately take with those words that you said and put them into practice. You know, what are maybe some of these demos that you expect to see over the next couple of days, and how, again, that sort of training and practicing about how we can continue to take these pieces of flying plastic and hopefully, you know, learn how to apply it to better first responder outcomes.
So they have many different applications out here, from inside inspections of a tower. They have a 70-foot tower over here. You can fly inside and outside of that to help inspect that. We have buses for the ability to fly like a Nevada, something that can fly indoors, has protection on the propellers, and gives you really good intel and good opportunity to train. Not everybody has, you know, the money to be able to build all these training scenarios for opportunities to fly inside and outside, nor the training budget to develop those things, or the connections yet. So having the networking ability here and saying, hey, you know, I'm here in Central Texas too, would you mind giving us an opportunity to come to where you are and fly, you know, the training things that you've already built? So that's huge so far. Mm-hmm. Lots of networking here. So I'm excited. I can't wait to see how people.
Me too. I mean, even just in the background, you know, there's ATVs and trucks driving by. You got different drones of ones that fit in your palm to ones that look like a human could go inside of it. I don't know if I'm just quite ready to be the volunteer for that one yet.
I'm pretty excited about that, man.
Are you going to volunteer as tribute?
I would love to take
there
that.
There goes Bobby, going up, never comes back.
Like I said, man, I'm 30 minutes from here. By the way the crow flies, I could probably make it there.
You probably could. Yeah, all right. So, you know, go as far and then just take a little.
Just land in the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, and then just things walk the rest. Call your kids to pick you up.
That's right.
Yeah, man, that's cool. Well, so within Pflugerville, what are some of the challenges that you face in terms of, you know, maybe just kind of explain a challenge, and then sort of how are you looking at how a drone, aerial, land, or water robot is going to be used to help fire departments, again, protect first responders from being an unnecessary risk, or better support a rescue from someone in the community?
Sure. I mean, if you look at anything that a fire department is called to do, people call 911 for everything, whether it be a missing person, whether it be a collision on the interstate. We have three major thoroughfares that run through the area that we protect, two toll roads and Interstate I-35. So you have all sorts of hazardous materials that go up and down the interstate on a regular basis. We have wildland urban interface issues. We have structures to protect. We have water with a small lake, lots of creeks that run through the area. A lot of undeveloped property that's actually a little bit more difficult to traverse either on foot, UTV, a lot of places fire trucks definitely cannot get to. And the ability to know an area and to fly that area, plan out a flight and be able to look for the things that you're looking for, whether it be a missing person, use the thermal on a collision with an 18-wheeler that is carrying some sort of hazardous material, whether it's going to do some sort of chemical change, that's a big deal. And it's super helpful. Fortunately, with the leadership with my organization, if it's going to do something to help the community, they're all about it. Man, let's do it. Let's do it fiscally responsibly for the citizens and the money that they provide for us. But at the end of the day, the service is for them. So if we can help move ourselves into, you know, the 2024, 2025 and further, we can't be behind the eight ball. We need to be up to speed with everybody else, and the technology is only going to help. So let's be familiar with the technology. Let's use what's available out there. But at the end of the day, be fiscally responsible and make sure that if we're going to get into something, that we're going to get into it. We're going to do it to the best of our ability, and we're going to be at the forefront. We're going to help lead the charge and be right there with not only the technology, but the people that are developing it.
Great context. And two questions that came to mind when you were talking were kind of what would be your message to kind of two stakeholders here? When we're talking about technology as a whole and an ecosystem, what would be your message to tech companies, entrepreneurs, in terms of how they're thinking about developing technology to this, to public safety? And then on the flip side, what would be your message to other first responders, other public safety members that are maybe on the fence thinking about tech or kind of not sure where to start? So maybe start with kind of the tech side.
So one of the biggest things that I would think of, if we're talking to the developers, and I venture to say even the legislators, let's not get so caught up into where the product is made. At the end of the day, there are millions of drone users that are not on professional platforms like we are, where the footage is monitored. It's captured in a way that we can use not only for the scene at the time, but also after action reviews. So I don't want to get to the point where we have to use aircraft that only we say we can use. There's a lot of people that are using this stuff that have zero control over where they're viewing, what they're viewing. And unfortunately, there's no way for the FAA to monitor the recreational flyer. So if the legislators are worried about recreational flyers, or I'm sorry, public safety flyers and the things that we see as pilots, we're doing certain missions at certain times. Everything is sent to repositories for all of our information. And I think that we're the safest people to be out there using them. And unfortunately, a lot of the third-party developers don't allow certain platforms to have operation over their, or oversight over their controllers, which causes issues for us. We work in conjunction with many different agencies, and to have one area where we can all throw up a flight code, say, hey, we're all flying under this mission code, so that we can all look at each other's footage. We can get a grander scheme of, we have eight aircraft in the air at one time. We're all flying together rather than just one aircraft, because the interface doesn't allow more than one aircraft to be viewed, or you have to have a certain piece of software to fly this certain aircraft. That hinders our objectives and our missions. So I don't like that. So if you're a developer, if you make drones or you make the software, make it usable so that everybody can use it together, collectively. And I don't think that we need to be worried about the things that we're looking at to be sent overseas. I don't think that's a big problem. A lot of times, like a Wild Urban Interface, we're often looking at a field where there is nothing to worry about. You know, we're looking to see where the fire is headed. Or you're looking at, you know, a structure fire, a building that's already burning. We have the drone up in the air. It's circling. It's giving us good intel. It's letting us know, hey, these are the hotspots. These are areas of concern. These are possible structural collapse areas. That's not information that's going to give anybody in another country any information that could be used against us. So I think that's an issue.
I mean, yeah, that's a significant problem, and obviously trending at the show in terms of what you can't use and can use. And granted, I think you and I both have iPhones in front of our hands, and you know, we don't need to go too far down this rabbit hole, but I would agree that we need to do whatever is possible from a legislative perspective just to continue to allow first responders to have the technology they need at an affordable price to be able to get intel to make better decisions. And when we're creating, when it gets into a little bit of political war, again, stuff that's maybe not things we normally cover in this podcast, it's a bit frustrating because you want to be able to do your job the best ability. And when you have some silly rules that preventing you from doing that, you know, that's cause for, frustration and wanting to do something about it in some context.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then on the flip side of the question was your message to other first responders, you know, those that maybe have looked at drones, thought about drones or technology in general. What would be your message to those that are, you know, again, going against that terrible phrase of, 100 years of tradition unimpeded by progress, which, you know, sorry for saying it, but nonetheless, like, what would you say to that, some of the kind of cultural embedded mindset of, hey, not wanting to embrace something new?
So change is inevitable. It's going to happen. Technology is inevitable. If you want to keep up with the times, you need to embrace it. It is here. It's not going away. Technology is ever changing. It kind of reminds me of when I first started in the fire service 20 odd years ago with thermal cameras. People were like, oh, don't use that. You're not really doing a good search if you're using a thermal camera. Or what happens if your thermal camera fails and now you don't know how to do it? Sure, I get it. Know how to do a search without thermal. But if there's technology that's there that's going to help you solve the problem quicker, use the technology that's going to help you solve the problem quicker. I think one of the biggest things that many organizations don't have enough of, and that's resources, especially if you run in a district that is busy. You can't trap several units to one call that can be solved using fewer resources and technology. That's not being fiscally responsible with the taxpayer dollars. So at the end of the day, we need to be able to serve the citizens that pay us to do the missions that they want us to take care of. And I think any technology that's out there that helps us better serve those that we serve needs to be utilized.
Yeah, well said. And so it's March 2024. What else is in store for you this year? Anything you're excited about? Any other events you're attending this year?
So there's a lot of things in the forefront for us. FRI is coming up. That's something that we'll be attending. Of course, TSI again at the end of the year. That's probably been the most profound conference that I've been to. If you're into the technology side, there are always vendors there who bring new things to the forefront, things that you haven't even thought of. That wasn't maybe even a thought the year previous. We go out there and we get a chance to talk to vendors and talk to people that are developing these things like Ascent. Golly, what a cool thing they're working towards. I can't wait to see where that goes with them.
Yeah.
Being able to locate, again, one of our own in any vertices, that's incredible. That's one of the things, you know, from a RIT perspective, we have a downed firefighter. Where exactly is that downed firefighter? If your firefighter is wearing some of their technology, it's already built out, you know, some sort of photogrammic reference for you. It alerts. It gives you visual keys. I mean, pretty dang cool.
And similar to like what you said with the FLIR camera and with the Sense technology, it's in a lot of ways, and the simplest way to describe it is those technologies, they're selling time. FLIR, if you can use it to more quickly understand different hotspots or more quickly understand fire science dynamics to make a quicker decision, saving you time. If a firefighter is wearing the Scent technology going in, and then you as an incident commander can more quickly know where they are and if there's a mayday, and you can have a faster RIT, you're selling time. Would you agree with that, or anything else you'd elaborate on that?
No, you know, generally speaking, if you have a mayday situation, it's not a RIT team that's going to save that downed firefighter. It's the firefighters that are closest to that downed firefighter. So if you're able to know that, hey, I've got firefighters on the Alpha Bravo corner of this building, I have a downed firefighter on the Charlie side of the building, I can send those people with exact location and their, you know, particular situation that they're dealing with immediately. But being able to, on a multi-level building, being able to tell where they are, that's game changing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to just continue to be open to embracing these new technologies, things that didn't exist. And I think infrared in general is a good example. And that 15 years ago is like that statement you said earlier of like, oh, you know, that you don't need it, or, you know, it's not going to prevent you from doing it better. But I think what I like about what I've seen from Ascent, as well as some other companies as well, is trying to integrate technology into public safety operations without being overly disruptive. Granted, you know, there was that phrase earlier said about change, but you can't just think you have the best piece of technology in the world and think that fire service is going to stop what they're doing and use that in full stop. And so I think it's important. I'd love for you to ramp up on this a little bit of like how entrepreneurs should think about integrating into public safety operations and sort of working with and listening to fire service members, as opposed to saying, hey, I know what you need and this is why you should take it. And, you know, where I think it's probably better, obviously, to take a little bit more of a listening and learning approach.
Yeah, I think that listening to and getting partnerships with fire departments, going out there and just saying, hey, would you mind letting us try out this piece of equipment? I know you have this training facility. Can we go out there and utilize your firefighters doing real situations, real challenges, and see how exactly it works? Does it work well? Does our thought process of how this thing should have worked actually work the way that we think it does? Or what kind of tweaks do we need to make? Partnerships are big. It's difficult sometimes for organizations that, you know, are on, you know, a budget to say, hey, this is May. It wasn't budgeted for the previous June to go out there and drop money. But for them to come out to us and to say, hey, we want to make the fire service better, would you mind partnering with us to help us? That's huge.
That's a recipe for success.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So kind of parting thoughts here, any kind of mic drop of sorts, you know, maybe I wouldn't ask you to drop these new mics I just got, but any kind of like final thoughts, questions, challenge, quotes, or something that you could leave us with here today?
If you're a fire service leader you need to be sending your personnel out there to gain knowledge, to see what else is out there. I don't care if you're a two-station fire department or if you're a 100-station department. The people that work for you can be smart, but they don't have all the answers. Networking and learning from the people that are out on the forefront can help your organization more than anything. Get out there. See what else is out there. See how technology can better serve you as a leader, but also serve your people and those that we serve, because it's all out there. It's getting better every single day. And I can't thank the people enough that put these things together to allow us to come out here and learn from the masters.
Right on, Bobby. Well, from this Texas Robotics Summit, as well as a lot of the work that we've done together with the IFC and TSI 2023 and TSI 2024, which I'm really excited to dive in that shortly, and the work you're doing with the Tech Council. Just appreciate you, man. I appreciate you being here, and look forward to just continue to collaborate on some exciting initiatives to help continue to support public safety at large.
Great, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, take care. Thanks for tuning in to this mini-series created at the Texas Robotics Summit, hosted by Granite Defense. Make sure to put this amazing event on your calendar for 2025. For this podcast episode, what do you like? What do you think? Drop us a comment on social media and let us know your favorite quote. Thanks for all that you do, and have a great day ahead.